On Thursday's front page, Iran is pushing back against tighter sanctions in increasingly unpredictable ways. One expert says Iran's message is, "We're not going to sacrifice our nuclear program." We'll look at how the economic downturn in the Eurozone has driven up unemployment among young people, and an audit of foreclosures in and around San Francisco found widespread irregularities. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Iran's response to tighter sanctions appears to be increasingly unpredictable. Iran's oil ministry threatened to preempt a European oil embargo by cutting off sales to six European nations. Deputy Foreign Editor Michael Slackman updates us on other developments.
The president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, announced they put an Iranian-made fuel rod into a nuclear reactor. He said that they sped up centrifuges that are helping to enrich uranium. If they have put online more advanced centrifuges, they would be capable of making weapons-grade fuel. The question is whether or not they're actually functioning or how many they've actually put online. But it's something that Western agencies will definitely be watching. In other interesting developments, the Thai police announced that an unusual explosion was linked to Iranians who had been working in the Thai capital, apparently, according to the Thai police, making explosive devices that appeared very similar to attacks that occurred the day before in Georgia and in India against Israeli agents. All of this indicates, perhaps, that the Iranians are scrambling as they try to push back on multiple fronts to a challenge to their nuclear program, their political order, and their economy.
Deputy Foreign Editor Michael Slackman. University of Southern California Professor Mohammed Sahimi says Iran's message is, if you hit us, we'll hit back, and we're not going to sacrifice our nuclear program. Also on Thursday's front page, parts of Congressman Michael Grimm's past are at odds with his image as a straight-arrow former Marine and former FBI agent. He's a Republican who represents Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. His official biographies don't mention that before he left the FBI, he invested nearly $1 million of borrowed money in a Texas real estate development. He also chose the builder. He picked a former FBI agent who was under indictment for fraud and racketeering. The Eurozone's economic downturn has driven up unemployment among young people. Spain's jobless rate for people between 16 and 24 is approaching 50%. In Greece, it's 48%, and in Britain, it's 22.3%. The lack of opportunity is feeding the alienation and anger that's already sparked street protests. Some experts say the British government's commitment to debt reduction is making the problem worse by cutting job training and apprentice programs. A fire that was apparently started by an inmate destroyed an overcrowded prison in Honduras, burning or suffocating prisoners who were locked in their cells. The death toll stands at more than 350. There were reports firefighters couldn't find a guard with the keys to get inmates out. Some escaped through the roof and kept on going. They're now fugitives. An audit of foreclosures in and around San Francisco found widespread irregularities. That raises the question of whether some foreclosures should be considered void. San Francisco assessor recorder Phil Ting commissioned the audit of 400 recent foreclosures. The files on 84% contain what appear to be legal violations. There were also frequent problems with documentation. Inside Thursday's Times, Republicans need 4 seats to guarantee control of the Senate in November. One obstacle they're facing is many Republican candidates are current or former members of the House, which polls show to be deeply unpopular. In North Dakota, the race for the Senate seat being vacated by Democrat Kent Conrad was supposed to be a cakewalk for Republican Rick Berg, but the nonpartisan Cook Political Report now rates it a toss-up. Berg's opponent is former State Attorney General Heidi Heitkamp. She's been tearing into Berg's record as a one-term congressman. Cubans are putting money into real estate. A new law allows private property trades for the first time in 50 years, and the Havana government is backing that up with measures to stimulate construction. Thursday's Times says you can hear the sound of hammers and the gritty slosh of cement being mixed as Cubans gut old houses, but a lot of the projects remain small scale. In Thursday's arts section, the New York Public Library is going back to a billion-dollar overhaul plan it shelved when the recession hit. The library gave British architect Norman Foster the green light on a schematic design for a circulating library to replace the existing Mid-Manhattan branch. The new library will be inside the library's main building on Fifth Avenue. The library plans to sell the Mid-Manhattan building across the street and another building with a science and technology library. If you're a Leonardo da Vinci fan and you didn't get to see the blockbuster show of his work in the National Gallery in London, there's a film. It's called Leonardo Live. On Thursday night, it will be shown in nearly 500 movie theaters in this country. Critic Roberta Smith says it's a strangely hectic tour of the exhibition, but she says at times, it's even insightful. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.